Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in program 347. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program to receive one. Please specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. They're both absolutely free, including postage and handling. We have some music today. We've got a strong message regarding the semantics or the process of the way that people must go through in order to be saved, to be born again in the Spirit, to be able to be regenerated, the things that people must do in order to be regenerated and live the, or in other words, to allow God to live His life out through you in Jesus. I've got a cold, pray for me, all right, because the old devil doesn't want me to be bringing these messages, but I figure you'd rather hear it anyway, whether you hear a few coughs or not. But at any rate, we have also some testimonies. We've got some Bible reading. Very important message today, so be sure to stay tuned. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, Lord, we thank you for showing us the process of human life that you went through. You stepped out of eternity and into a human body. Then you lived a human life, a perfect human life, and you are our example, our role model. And we wonder how, before we're saved, could anyone live such a life as that? But then when we read your word, we come to the realization of the different stages of life. The good word is sown into our heart, and then a blade appears, and then the corn, and then the full plant. And then the people, so it's a process that we see from the parable of the sower. We went through the first part of the parable, and then the Lord breaks down the actual parable to his disciples later on in chapter 4 of Mark. And we're going to go through that today. But it's to show that salvation doesn't come instantly. You're not a full-fledged Christian until you go through all the different stages. First, the seed is sown into your heart. And then you get all your sins washed away. And then there's a change of life. And that's very important. You must change your life. You have to step out of, so to speak, this old life of yours, or this world, and start living the kingdom of heaven life and walk in the spirit. The spiritual realm is entirely different than the natural realm or the life that we lived before, and we have to put that aside, and that's one of the most important things that we need to do, Father. And so I'm so happy you showed that to us, to me, so I could explain it to others. And I pray, Lord, that you'll open up every heart, soul, mind, and spirit today to receive everything, because I know that you intend to let people know the slow process, which is not really slow, it's the only process there is, because we don't plant a seed of corn in the earth and see an ear of corn that we can boil up or roast and then eat it the same day. We wake up in the morning and several mornings, and we go to sleep, and pretty soon we see a blade appear. It's a process. Then we see some ears starting to take form. And after a while, maybe a couple of months, then we see some corn. And actually, we have to develop like that. We have to be processed through human life, as you had to be processed through. We have to be processed through spiritual life, just as you were processed through human life. And so that we have to be processed as you were. but we have to be processed spiritually so that we'll be acceptable in the kingdom of heaven, which is the spiritual kingdom. And Lord, we pray that everyone will get this today, that their souls might be saved and the church be strengthened and better able to explain what salvation or regeneration is all about. Father, I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, I've sung a few songs before. I'm no Fag Springman, but some people like to hear me sing a little bit. And this one is called, You Are Your Brother's Keeper. You are. Yes, you are.
Last night I had the strangest dream. A dream that seemed so real. A mighty force had carried me back to this ancient field. And then a voice came to me, saying, be not filled with fear. Bear witness to the things you see and everything that you hear.
I saw Cain kill his brother in the garden, and I heard the Lord ask Cain where Abel was. I do not know, am I my brother's keeper? He was punished then for spilling Abel's blood. Then I heard the Lord tell Noah, before the sky turned dark, everyone but you and your shall pass away. I see all my children sinning, and it grieves me in my heart. Then I watched as God and Noah built the ark. Noah was his brother's keeper, yes he was, yes he was. Noah was his brother's keeper, yes he was. God saw his children sinning, and it grieved him in his heart. Noah was his brother's keeper, yes he was. I saw Samson single-handed stop 1,000 evil men, and Joshua fight the battle at Jericho. I saw David stop Goliath and then become a king. They were their brother's keeper, don't you know?
You are your brother's keeper, yes you are, yes you are. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are.
God sees his children sinning, and it grieves him in his heart. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are. Yes, you are, yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper, yes, you are. God sees his children sinning, and it hurts him in his heart. You are your brother's keeper, yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper, yes, you are. Yes,
right, that's part of the process of the living God, is to be your brother's keeper. Now, you know, like when you sow a seed of corn, you don't have to expect it to come up as a tomato or any other thing. And when Jesus sows his seed, when God sows the seed of Jesus, the Word of God, into you, you're supposed to come out just like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
There's not supposed to be teeth missing and hair missing or any of the assets or attributes of the Lord is supposed to be missing at all. It's supposed to be just like Jesus. And if it doesn't come out that way, well, then what it is that this seed was of Jesus was sown on a stony heart, a heart that's made out of stone, and a heart that is an unthankful heart, and it's not able to receive. It's a bitter heart that's so bitter, because they can't have the things of this world. The Bible says, count the cost before you make the decision. Count the cost before you say, yes, Lord. Because it's better that you had never said, yes, Lord, or because what you're saying is, yes, Lord, I accept the seed of Jesus, the new birth of Jesus. Every time somebody gets saved, that means that Jesus has been born again into this earth, born into those of us that are made out of earth. And then he expects to want to grow up to the fullness of the stature of himself in us. And if you walk away back into the world, then what you've done is aborted Jesus out of your being. You have committed abortion of God. You've aborted him because you hate God so much. You hate the growth that has to occur in a body in order to be regenerated. And because that you abort God, after he's been so merciful to sow himself into you, the Lord feels that you love death. You hate life, and you love death. All those that hate me love death, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
And so you have to go through the whole process that the Bible talks about. First is the cleansing of sins. You have to be washed in the blood of Jesus off of our souls, or our being sanctified and our being then justified. That isn't us that have been justified for any other reason than accepting the Lord's, which is the seed, the word of God. Excuse me, pray for me, that we are receiving the seed of the Lord Christ into our heart. This is why we're justified by God, is because we've accepted Jesus, the Word of God, into us. So people say, well, I'm God's righteousness. And then they just say, now, enjoy everyday life. This is false, all right? This is satanic doctrine. Because the Lord says that, in other words, if they weren't enjoying everyday life, in other words, their lifestyle, well, then they would be bitter as can be. They want to believe that it's all right to live any way that you want to and still be sanctified. But the sanctification means that you've accepted the Lord's birth in your soul, and you're sanctified because you're going to allow the full growth of the Lord to occur in you. That's sanctification. So, in other words, once our souls are cleansed from our sins and we've accepted the Lord's way, we're going to change our life, the lifestyle, our souls, or our being then we become sanctified. And then because we're walking in the Spirit and we're allowing Christ to grow up into us, just as when you sow a seed of corn, the corn comes up just like corn. Amen?
Amen.
Half of it is not eaten up with worms, or because you take care of the Lord Jesus that's been sown in your soul, you take care of your salvation, you take care of that which has sanctified you, and then you become justified as well, because you're justified because you're doing what the Lord said, not just by saying a prayer. You know, that's these false teachers are saying these things. And people think that they're saved and they don't have to get the gospel out and they don't have to go through the full growth. They feel that first the corn is in there and then all of a sudden they're just put to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And a bunch of them think that they're filled with the fullness of Christ after they've been saved for a day or a week. And they start telling you, you're justified, you're sanctified, and they don't know when they're telling you these things whether you're going to continue on in the Lord or not. And so I don't tell people that. I just tell them the way that they must go, the way in which they must go in order to be full of Jesus, to be filled up to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are on that straight and narrow path, to be sanctified and justified, then the matters of God's life has growth, and the Lord likens it as seed that's planted in the ground. These are the matters of God's eternal life. Now, the corn doesn't have eternal life, but the Spirit of God, the seed of God, the Word of God that's sown into your heart is eternal life and its power. Even our being set free from the bondage is not able to absolutely be a total matter of life. We're set free from the bondage of Satan so long as we continue on letting Christ grow up in us on a daily basis, and that we take up the cross and follow the Lord. Oh, you never knew these things, did you? Because I don't hear any preacher preaching this. I never have heard any preacher preaching this, but this is the truth. Amen.
Amen.
And all the parables point right to this. Amen.
Amen.
Set free from the bondage is not an absolute matter of God's life living in you. He set you free from by giving you his power in you from the bondage of having to sin. That's not a complete matter of eternal life living in you, since part of this experience has to do with the release from the penalty of the law. It doesn't release you from the law, but the original Greek states from the penalty of the law. In other words, we've all broken the law, and then when we accept God's way of life in us through Christ in us, which is the life-giving Spirit, now we have life. And we don't have to pay the penalty of the law now, because the Lord has washed us, all of our filthy sins away, our former sins, away in the blood of Jesus. And then Christ is born in us, which is symbolic of the blade of corn. Because Jesus even likened himself to a blade of corn. So the Lord has justified us. You know, I'm sorry for all the noise that appears on this program, but we're in a place where we have to endure all these different noises, and hopefully you will. There's a vacuum cleaner going in a room next to us. We're free from the law, the penalty of the law, and another. All of our sins have been washed away, cleaned away with the blood of Jesus, our former sins, so that we can be released from the penalty of the law. Now, a lot of people say that all sins are washed away, past, present, and future. This is a lie from the devil. Okay, because how could you be going through the process of Christ, the process of God, and still have to having Christ grow up in you? How could that be? If he's growing up in you, you're not going to sin any longer, because he that sinneth is of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
So they were shampooing the carpet out in the hallway here, and so I just went out and asked them if they could just knock it off for a while so that there wouldn't be all that noise on this tape. So we had to stop the tape for a while, because this is an important message for you to know. I mean, you know, when you're just born again, it's far more than just saying a prayer to Jesus and then you get washed in the blood. That's just part of the process of the corn, or the birth of Christ being sown into your mortal body so that it can become immortal. All right? So we have to be washed. All of our sins has to be washed away of our former sins. And people that say, well, it's for the sins yesterday, today, and forever, they're liars. They're the devil. Okay? That's the devil. Now, sins of ignorance can be washed away if you're absolutely ignorant. Otherwise, we'd all be discouraged, because we're all going to We don't know the Bible the minute that the seed is sown into the ground, right?
Amen.
We don't know the whole Bible, and there's things that we may do after we've accepted Christ, and then we'll find out later that they're not of the Lord. We can tell the Lord, Lord, we didn't know that. We're not going to do it anymore. It was ignorance on my part. And he'll forgive that, okay? But you already know adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, stealing, lying, and all these things are not of the Lord. And so if you do those things, or you're lusting still, that doesn't take much of to know those things. You know those right off, because the Holy Spirit lets you know when he's living in you that sin, he convicts you of those things before you do them. And if you just go against the Holy Spirit, well, then you're Antichrist, all right?
Amen.
And so if you didn't know all these things before this tape, well, then for God's sake, don't do this any longer, amen?
Amen.
So we're cleansed of all of our former sins with the blood of Jesus, our Lord, so that we can be released from the penalty of the law. At that point, we are released, possibly temporarily, from the penalty of the law. But if you go back to sinning again, well, then the law comes down and condemns you again. And how are you going to get out of that? The Lord's not going to come back and die for you anymore. Okay? He wants you to be perfect like him. Now, if it's the good seed of the Lord being sown into you, then that the Lord has to grow up in you. Amen? And that happens from reading the Word of God and paying attention to the Word of God, which is also the Holy Spirit, and it is life. Now, the Lord makes this so simple that it's just amazing that people are not able to get it. So another part of salvation has to do with the freedom from the bondage of sin. The power of God enters into you and gives you the power to not sin anymore. So why, after God gives you the power to not sin anymore, would you think that you have to sin some more? It's obvious that you don't believe, you're not thankful for the power of God that entered your spirit, your heart. And the law of God is not in your heart, but the Lord has said that if you've got the seed of God in you, which is the Christ being born anew in you in this world, then the law is no longer on granite or on pages. The law, you can confirm it by reading the page, it's in your heart. You know that it's wrong to commit adultery, fornication. You know that it's wrong to lust. You know that. The Holy Spirit lets you know that. And so it has to do with the freedom from the bondage of sin. You're no longer bound by Satan. You have the power of God in you to not sin. And therefore, if you deliberately sin, then you're saying that the Spirit of God is not powerful enough to stop you from sinning. All right? And you're a liar if you say that.
Amen.
Because the Spirit of God holds up the whole world. And the Spirit of God has held up every blood-washed saint, Spirit-filled saint, free from the bondage of sin saint, and that's in heaven to this day. So we're free from the bondage of sin if you receive the seed of God, the Word of God in you. It's all iffy. Some people says the Lord loves you unconditionally. That isn't true. Everything has an if to it. If you sin, the Lord doesn't love you. He loved you enough to pay the price for you and to sow his seed into you. But if you reject, it's like if, for instance, you throw some corn into the soil and the soil just pops it up onto the road where it's like paved and it can't grow, well, then you know that that corn of seed is like rejecting the soil. Wouldn't you think?
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's the same thing. If the Word of God comes into you and you just force it out because of your lustful flesh that Satan is living so strongly in your spirit, or in your spirit and in your flesh, well, you don't expect to get into heaven. by just posing or dressing like a Christian or talking sweetly and so on. That has nothing to do with it whatsoever. That's why people think there's so many phonies and they talk so sincerely, beloved. Oh, yes, we just love everybody in the world. The Lord doesn't love everybody in the world. He said that Jacob, he has loved, has he loved, and Esau, has he hated. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord loves and he hates. The Lord has a very good common way of thinking. He doesn't have a bad way of thinking at all. He thinks pretty much like a real person that has common sense. He's a common sense God. He hates. He loves. He makes alive. He kills. But he doesn't murder. If he's killing you, it's because of something that you've done, that he doesn't like what you're doing. So these parts of life, the freedom from the bondage of sin, these parts of the Lord's life, these are parts of the life, but not entirely of God's life, the eternal life, that is. All these that I have mentioned before are only what God has done for us. God has done that for us, and he's done that upon us. Only regeneration is the major part of God's life living in us, which is God's salvation. Therefore, when you experience God's salvation or his immortal life, it is regeneration that is the experience of that part which is of God's eternal life, which becomes our life. Now, if it becomes your life, you've cleaned away your old life. You're no longer looking at humans, you're no longer looking at the lusts of the world. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The lust of your flesh. That's all gone away with because the good seed of God has been sown in you. In other words, Christ is God's seed. And Christ now is growing up in you because you've accepted all of his ways, which are the word of God. Amen? Now, if you've accepted God's way, God's truth, which is the word, in God's life, he says that his word is truth, it's spirit, and it is life. Amen?
Amen.
And it is God. Amen. So if you accepted God, well, then how can you sin if it's really God growing up in you? If you sow corn into the ground, it's not going to come out a tomato. Amen?
Amen.
Everything God has done it after its kind. He puts seed in every piece of fruit, in every vegetable. You know, like corn, you know, when you're a farmer, you know that you can take the best ears of corn and throw them in a corn crib and let them dry out. And that's what you use for seed the next year. But it's all corn. Amen?
Amen.
And then when God sows his seed in you, well, then it's all God, because the seed of God is in is the word of God. It says so plainly in this parable. Now, just to prove it to you, let's start reading that parable from the fourth chapter. What is it, verse 26?
Yes.
The fourth chapter of Mark. We'll give you a couple of seconds here to find it. Chapter 4, verse 26, all right? Okay, have you all found it? Oh, thanks for telling me. Okay, go ahead and let's start reading. This is Jesus speaking. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
And he said...
And he, Jesus, said...
So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground.
Okay, that's how you get the kingdom of God in you, and the kingdom of God comes without observation. You can see a sower sowing the seed, and if you look at the seed, I can tell a piece of corn seed from a radish seed. So they're different. But this is a God seed that sows the kingdom of heaven. Read that again.
So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground.
Yeah, because we're made out of the ground, and so the kingdom of heaven is sown by the word. It's somebody preaching the word or teaching it, or else God just comes and visits you like he did the Apostle Paul. And like he did myself. Now, I can't help it that the Lord visited me the way he did, which is similar to the Apostle Paul. I'm not trying to equate myself with him or say I'm on the same level as him, because he's written more than two-thirds of the New Testament, and the Lord has shown me a lot of different explanations of a lot of scriptures, a lot of the Word of God. But I never wrote part of the Bible, because that's a very special saint, the Apostle Paul. And he did more of this writing, the Word of God, in the New Testament than any other apostle. Okay, and so let's go.
So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day.
Okay, night and day, night and day, night and day, and then pretty soon he wakes up and hears what? Then what happens?
And the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how.
Yeah, we don't know how the Word of God can cause Christ to grow up in us, but nothing but the Word of God could make him grow up in us, and that's why we have to get our eyes off the world, off the lust, because whatsoever you allow to be sown into your heart, if you allow God to only, his word, which is Christ, to be sown into your heart, well, then only God can grow in there. That's why the Lord says, take heed what you hear, or how you hear, amen?
Amen.
Because if you let Satan be sown into your heart, that's who's going to grow up in there, amen?
Yeah, amen.
That false doctrine and all this, all right?
Amen.
So read that again.
So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how.
No, we don't know how. But I remember when I was just a little kid, I was only about 6 or 7 years old, and I planted a whole garden. We owned a lot right next to our home in Lewistown, Montana, where we lived when I was that young. And I kept going out every day, and nothing was happening, and I just water it lightly and everything to make sure. And sometimes it would rain, and then all of a sudden I'd see this blade come up. Because it doesn't happen overnight. You don't get a whole ear of corn or a whole pumpkin or a whole watermelon or a cantaloupe or string beans or peas or anything like that, or radishes. It doesn't happen one day. There's a process of God's life living in you that has to grow up to the fullness of the fruit or the vegetable, or in this case, it's Jesus is the seed of God. So whatever God has created, he was uncreated, he didn't create himself. Just in the beginning was the Word, and the Word created everything in the world, and so therefore the Word can create, and is the only thing that can create a new man in us. And that new man, while he grows up, then the old life immediately becomes more and more past history, dead, mortal, okay, mortified. Then what?
For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear.
Okay, see, and not all at once. Amen?
Amen.
First the blade, then the ear. And it brings forth fruit of itself. The seed, you can have it in a bag, and nothing will happen. But God has put some form of life in the seed and in the bag, in the earth, to where together they're joined and it grows up. And he's likening his word to grow up his seed, which is Christ. The word of God can grow up in you because it's the seed of God, the Son of God, and it's the Word of God. And we don't know how that happens any more than we know how a vegetable or a tree or anything grows when we put the seed in the ground. But there's something that God put in there that makes it happen. Amen?
Amen.
And if we, as we keep learning the Word of God, as often as we read, then something more of Christ which is the fullness of God, he's the Holy Spirit, grows up into us until it's a fully grown Christ, the fullness of Christ living in us. Okay, then what?
For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear.
Yeah, see, process. Amen.
Amen.
First it has to be sown, then watered, and fertilizer and all this stuff. It's a process. Everything is a process in this world, right?
Amen.
Then what?
After that, the full corn in the ear.
Right. Then the fullness of the stature of Christ in you, which is God Almighty. Then what?
But when the fruit is brought forth...
One more thing is like, when Christ is fully grown up in you, and you're doing everything he says, wouldn't that be perfect?
Amen.
Well, then these preachers that say no one's perfect, when God says you must be perfect to enter the kingdom of heaven, how could that be? So if you knew the word of God, then you'd know these people are devils or liars that are preaching that you can't do what God says you can do. We can do all things in Christ Jesus, his word says. Amen?
Amen.
So when a weasel or, you know, the demons or somebody like that says that you can't, then they're absolutely preaching the exact opposite of God's word, and they're calling God a liar. But the Bible says, let every man be called a liar, but let God be called the truth. Amen?
Amen.
So believe God and not man. Okay, well, you'll say, well, you're a man. Yes, but I'm not telling you anything that man says. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
So therefore, I am a proper preacher of the word. All right?
Amen.
And if you want to keep your soul, then you'll listen to what I say and check out the scriptures to see if what I'm saying is the truth. Okay, then what?
But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come.
Right, so when you grow up to the fullness of the stature of the Lord, then you don't mind if you go into heaven. That's what you want to happen. But if you're double-minded and you don't know for sure if the word of God is true or not, and you don't trust the word, you don't believe the word, the Bible says those that believe the word are saved. They shall be saved, and those that doubt shall be damned. Amen?
Amen.
Excuse me again. Then what? Pray for me. Then what?
And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth.
Yeah, but so it's a little thing, like the Spirit of God just enters in, and it's taken lightly by everybody. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, people just poo-poo it. Yeah, oh, it's nothing. It's tiny, amen?
Amen.
But to people that love life, it's the greatest thing in the world. Amen. Okay, then what?
But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all
See,
herbs.
It has to grow, though. It doesn't. It's not immediately immediate growth. It's not, you haven't arrived yet. You know, there's all this process that you have to go. The forgiveness of all your former sins. And then the Spirit enters you. And then there's the clearance, or the clearance of your former life. All the old evil things that I read yesterday are washed, or you have to put them away yourself. The Lord's not going to put them away for you, because he doesn't want you to be a robot. He wants you to be willingly to do it. Just like Jesus said, my will, my willingness is to do what the Lord wants me to do. So you have to consider all these changes in the old way of living that I was reading the other day. I just wanted to tell everybody about the Lord. I mean, the actual workings of the Lord. When you're preaching the real gospel, like I am right now, it is very necessary to add all these different points to enable others to see that regeneration means a change in their human way of living. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to set all that aside. Now continue on.
But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches.
Right, that's the same way Jesus is when he gets sown into you. So he says, if you have the faith as little as a grain of mustard seed, you can do what?
All things.
Ask what? You can say to yonder mountain to be removed, and it will be removed, even with just so there's enough faith in the seed in Christ that's sown into you to destroy, to send matters, persecutions, and to run over, to just walk on top of them. It's like the same as the world is likened unto an angry sea that we're living in. And then all of a sudden, we're walking on the water. You know, we're walking above. And all these people in the world that don't have Christ or don't believe that he is able to give you this power to walk on the troubles or walk over the water, they commit suicide. They start taking drugs. They start drinking booze. They start committing adultery. They start trying to get their mind into something that is not lawful to the Lord, like a pornography, lusting after something. Some get into eating. Their God is their stomachs. They want to just eat and eat and eat and eat, and their troubles away. Amen?
Amen.
So, so there's a central, an actual central area of the experience of God's life or salvation, because regeneration is the major part of God, which is life. He regenerates you, but as you're reading, he regenerates us, but we have to come to the realization that there's a process for us to be saved. But regeneration, the final part, when we really receive it the right way, is the major part of life in the experience of God's life or salvation. It is the center of the experience of God's life. And the reason for this is God's life or salvation is because the main purpose of God in saving us is that we may have his life and not our own life. He wants us to have eternal life, his life, rather than our own life, which perishes. Now, if you think that's bad, or you think that's not worth giving your life, your whole life to him, well, then you're just sending your soul, because he tells us in his word, and he's the truth, that we'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
In fire. It's because of this reason that he has forgiven us of our sins, because he wants us to have his life rather than our own. That's why he forgave us of our sins. It isn't because of anything that we did good. It's just that he wants us to share eternity. He wants us to share paradise with him in heaven. It is for this reason that he has cleansed us with his own blood that he shed on the cross, and it's because of this reason that he has sanctified us, providing that we receive the seed and we're going according to God's word, that Christ grows up in this to the fullness of Christ. The seed grows up, and we're full of faith in the word of God. That's for the same reason that he has justified us. We're not justified because of anything we do, but that we receive him in his life. Amen? His way of life. That he has set us free from the bondage of sin. And he has done all these for one purpose. And that purpose is his eternal life or regeneration in us. His life living in us. Regeneration, therefore, is the this is the central part of God's salvation, or his immortal life, living and our having his immortal life, and it is also the central part of our experience of having God's life or His salvation living in us, in our spirits, and through us. Okay, so let's continue on.
But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs.
Right, this is regeneration. I mean, this is like God's life living in us. Amen?
Amen.
It becomes greater than any of the what? Any other thing that God has put seed in. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Then what? He never put His life, eternal life, in anything else but us.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then what?
And shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it.
Right. So, we are able to win souls, to bring them into the fullness of the stature of Christ. All right?
Amen.
And then, there's a beginning. That's the seed being sown in you, or a starting. This knowing or experiencing God's immortality, His life in us. The first experience of God's life is regeneration. Without regeneration, we haven't begun our experience of God's life. Now, regeneration is all those different experiences. First, the seed is sown in you. Then you're washed, you come to the Lord, and you ask for forgiveness of sins. You're supposed to have been convicted of your sins because, and then you ask God for this incredible favor to be washed in His blood and cleansed from our old sin, and then the power in us to be able to continue on serving Him. That means to put away our old life. So we have His salvation continuously in us, or within us. When we're regenerated, we begin to experience God's life. We start experiencing His life. Amen?
Amen.
So His life is actually in us. Therefore, from that point of, or that standpoint of experience, regeneration is the beginning of the experience of salvation, regeneration, or God's eternal life. Now God's life enters into us, the seed. That's regeneration. It's the obtaining of God's eternal life in addition to our original life. They're mingled together. The moment we are regenerated is the moment that God's eternal life enters into us. Regeneration, therefore, is the entering into us of God's eternal life, the birth of Christ within us. Regeneration isn't only the entering into us of God's life, but it is also the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ within us. When God's life enters into us, in Christ, and with Christ also, and it regenerates us, it is in one way God's eternal, immortal life entering into us, and in another way it is also that Christ is born in us. The birth of Christ in us means that Christ is born once more into this world. Every time a person is regenerated, Christ is born once more. We have to be born once more. And that happens when Christ, the seed, enters into us and the Spirit of God inside of the Spirit of God inside of the seed, Christ, enters into us. So it would be nice if all humanity would receive that. So it does enter into all human beings that receives Him. Therefore, regeneration is the birth of Jesus within us. Okay, now let's read some more from the Word.
And with many such parables spake He the Word unto them, as they were able to hear it.
Right, see, now people, even after it's explained, after you've read that many times, you still didn't realize that all these things had to be in place. But they naturally happen to people that are born again. But it's nice for people to understand what happened to them when it happened. Amen?
Amen.
And even halfway into your Christ growing to the fullness in you, it's nice to know these things as well, so that you can focus more on the things that happen to you and how important it is for them to happen to you. We are in Adam, a fallen sinner, before this happens. The old man, in other words, but when we are regenerated, God's life in the Lord Jesus Christ enters into us, the seed of God. And we're the only ones that the seed of God enters into. This life is something new. It's a very new element within us. When it mixes up or mingles itself up with our spirit, God's life mingling with our life, it becomes the new man within us. Therefore, every one of us who has been regenerated is a double man, a duo man, duo. We are in one way the old man in Adam, fallen, and in another way we are the new man in Christ, regenerated. And so there has to be so much of the new man in us that the old man dies. We're saved. We're born again. This is this new man begins at the time of our regeneration. Therefore, regeneration is the beginning of the new man, and Christ being born in the world, and also the new man in us. But there are certain conditions regarding regeneration. The experience of regeneration of God's life in us, with Christ living in us, the new man being born in us, is especially related to four different things. One is our nature. Two, our heart. Three, our spirit. And four, God's spirit, which is God's life, eternal life, are all mingled or mixed within our life, or spirit. From the aspect of these four different things, we have to look at our condition before regeneration, during regeneration, and after regeneration. I'll continue this tomorrow. My time is up. Praise the Lord. But you have a lot here. You probably have to listen to this tape several times. Amen?
Amen.
In order to let it all soak in, because, you know, it isn't like reading Reader's Digest or something like that. When you're reading or learning the Bible, you have to really learn it, because it is your very life. Now, those of you that would like God's very life living in you and through you, and to do away with all the old hang-ups that you have, and whatever problems you have, just ask the Lord to enter in right now by saying this prayer. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former sins away in the precious blood that you washed them away when you shed your blood on the cross at Calvary. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away, my former filthy sins away, in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. And you will give me the power to not sin again. And if I do ignorantly, well, then I know you'll forgive me. But I know if I know what I'm doing, that will be very bad if I did that, because that would be the same thing as Eve after she was saved. She fell. So therefore, Lord, you will not turn me away. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved." Now, just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. And get baptized now in water, fully submerged, and then refilled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we have, I can show you how to do that also from the word. Now, here's the Sharon to give you four different ways that you can receive a copy of this program. Program 347. Please specify which program it is. And please specify whether you want a tape or a CD. It's all free, postage and handling.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for the continuation of having God's life, experiencing His life in you all the every day. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so here now is H.B. Barnum's Life Choir singing the Life Choir prayer song.